Turn in God's Word to Job chapter 25. In Job chapter 25, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 6. Job 25 and verses 1 through 6. And God's people, these are the words of God, so let's give our attention fully to Him. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "Dominion and fear are with Him. He maketh peace in His high places. Is there any number of His armies? And upon whom doth not His light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man which is a worm." Those are God's words. Job, remember, has responded to his friends. And now Bildad comes back and responds with this very short retort, a response. He no longer does he bring the argument about prosperity. Remember the argument that his friends had brought about prosperity, that if Job was righteous, then he would be prospering. But he is facing the opposite. He's suffering. And so that shows that he is wicked. Well, Job has answered that according to scriptures and shown that's false, right? Not all of the godly prosper and not all the wicked are judged immediately. And he does that reminding of God's word. And so now Bildad comes now again, but he goes to something that is true, generally speaking, is true, but yet, again, with poor application of God's word to Job. And that as he shows Job that the distance here, basically, verses 1 through 6, is about how great and high and infinite God is, and how great that distance is from God to Job. Job is very low on the earth, etc. So that there should be high and honorable thoughts of the Lord, verses 2, 3, and 5. But we should think little of ourselves, verses 4 and 6. All those, of course, true. We should be humbled before the Lord who is almighty and the Creator. Now, of course, those are great lessons for us to learn and believe and live according to. But here they are misapplied to Job. Bildad's argument here is, going back to what Job had said, he's basically saying, Job, your response is too pious. Your response is too holy, if we could put it that way, too pious. It serves as an attack. The truth is, Job responded righteously according to God's word. And nevertheless, our God is to be highly honored by us in our thoughts and in our lives. And before Him, we must be humble and must humble ourselves. But that does not mean that we don't respond with God's word. We respond with God's word. We acknowledge our sin and turn to Him. And so that's, again, a reminder to be in God's Word, to apply God's Word, but to apply it in a biblical way according to God and how He applies it. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, of course we could say much more about this here and how can anybody be justified before You? Of course, the answer we know is alone in Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. And Job does believe in You. And He is righteous in your sight here as we study God's Word. Of course, He is now as He's with you in glory. Father, we are thankful that You grant to us the righteousness of Your Son, and how You grant us the gospel and to hear with our ears the God of the good news that Christ died for our sins. And before He died, He lived a perfect righteous life without sin, even humbling Himself to the point of death on a cross, and yet without sin. And we give You praise for His life. We give You praise for His perfect death, and how in justification that we receive by faith and trust in Him and submission and bowing the knee to Christ, that we receive that accounting of righteousness to us, the righteousness of Christ alone. And so we give You praise for His righteousness. Of ourselves, we can do nothing good. We are unrighteous. And even now, as Your people, we continue in sin. But we ought not to continue in sin that grace may abound. We ought to flee from it. We're thankful that by the stripes of Christ we are healed. We plead that You would sanctify us and cleanse us of all of our sin, and move us to love You, to pursue holiness in Christ, to pursue righteousness in Christ, and also knowledge. For it is in Your image that we are made, and knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And so grant us such that we would be more holy today than we were yesterday, and more holy tomorrow than we were today. Father, we do ask for Your help. There are some missing from worship today with You and with us that ought to be here. We ask that You would watch over them, care for them, that they would not succumb to the attacks of the devil, but that You would return them to us and cause them to worship You with Your people as they have vowed to do. We pray that we would be, as best we are able, that we would be an encouragement to them to worship You. And we'd reach out to them. And so fill us with Your grace by Your Spirit to do so, to make effort to do so for the sake of our brethren, because we love them. And Father, we also pray and ask for Your help to those who are sick and unable to be here this morning or this day. We ask for Your help for especially Marissa and Wendelin, who are sick. We're thankful that Elijah and Jake are feeling better, and ask that You would heal their bodies, strengthen them. And any others, Father, who may not be feeling well today that I'm not aware of, that You know, of course, I ask that You'd heal them as well. Father, we pray that You would provide for us as a congregation, provide elders and deacons, and financially, but also protection from evil. We ask that You would provide more members, grow this congregation, because we desire to plant another church, because we desire Your gospel to go forth to all nations. And that starts here with us in our lives, and that moves out from us to the world. And we're thankful for the many other presbyteries, churches that have planted churches, and even this congregation many years ago. And we pray that Your name would be praised as we desire the gospel to go forth to all peoples, and that nations would covenant with Christ Your Son. Our Father, we do also plead, and that You would grow us in number by children, and so provide children, more children to us. Father, we love children. We love the cries of them, and we know that you in Christ love to hear the praises sung by the children. That their cries, even their singing, as we learn in the Psalms and in Matthew's Gospel, that you love to hear the infants praise you. And so, Father, we ask for more infants, that more would praise you, because we desire that you would be glorified, not only in heaven, but on earth. And here in the public assemblies of your worship, of which you desire more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Our Father, we do plead for your help today. Again, as we've considered our nation, we ask for your help, that you would turn our nation to you, that you would send a great revival, and therefore send your Holy Spirit and power to change many hearts and bring in many to your kingdom, that you would shine the marvelous light of your grace and love upon the heathen and the pagan and even the unbelieving Jew, that they would love you and turn to Christ for their salvation. Father, today we ask for your help. And we are unworthy of being here, and yet you make us worthy alone in Christ. And so, Father, grant us the grace needed to worship you. Grant us also, Father, the hearing of your Son's prayers, that you would respond to him, yes and amen, and so that all your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.